Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Hello, Sherry. Hello. Hello, Sherry.
Hello. Unmuted. Oh, my goodness. I can hear that. He says unmuted. So, Jason, are you there? Okay. Apparently, the call's dropping on my end or his end. I can see them both. So, I don't know what the reception is. I hope that we're going to have a show. But, if anybody wants to call in and talk about anything, whether it's the paranormal or metaphysical or fitness or anything, just call in at 215-383-3999. Again, it's 215-383-3999. So you can call in and I can help you, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be a one-sided conversation. what am I going to talk about tonight? I haven't been doing anything with the paranormal other than reading, doing a lot of readings. I would say maybe paranormal, but not as far as anything malevolent or you know, anything dark or anything like that. But, yeah, I've been actually been doing a lot of the medical stuff, the medical intuition, the Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine. And so we'll see what happens. It's, you know, I really love what I'm doing, and, you know, we'll see what happens here. So in the meantime, yeah, we're just having some difficulty, and I can see where I'm having some problems too. So we're going to try back again and see what happens. It seems like feels like it's just something's weird going on. So it could be, is it the 13th? I don't know. It should have been Friday the 13th, but just kind of tune in. I hope next week we're having Brian Ouellette call in, and he's going to be on. And, we'll see what happens. But we're going to have to get it together and get a hold of, Blog Talk and find out. I do have a guest calling in, so I'm going to put him on hold. Hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Hi. Is this Noel?
It could be.
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons. We've been having some problems. I've been running the dashboard, and
no, I've been trying
I can't
to call
get
in
my other co-host to get on, and we're
no,
just having
it,
some issues
it wasn't
tonight.
Calling in, so I'm here now.
What's that? You're
yeah,
here.
I was calling
Good.
In, but it wasn't working. Now I'm here now.
Yeah, I don't know. The dashboard's just going crazy tonight. I have no idea what's going on. But
okay.
Anyway,
well, I'm
yes, I'm just going to do a quick brief introduction. Noel
Got
Fuller
it.
Is he's a bodybuilder and also a bodybuilding coach, and I'm very proud to introduce him tonight for the very first time. He's just been, you know, been in the business for a long time. I don't know exactly. I don't want to falsify any information, but he's been in the business for a very long time. We're going to just kind of wing it and talk about fitness. And like
sure.
I said, if anybody wants to call in, they're willing to call in at our number, at toll-free at 1-215-383-3999. Again, 1-215-383-3999. They could call in, ask Noel any questions, ask any questions, and we can just get in. So
now,
anyway, I got to say this. Noel is my bodybuilding coach, and I got to have to say he is fantastic. I wish I lived closer, but he is great. So introduce yourself, Noel.
Hi, I'm Noel Fuller. I turned my first person pro in 1990. I've been training people. I love everything about what she's doing. I love paranormal. I love UFO shit. I love, what is it? Just paranormal crap, everything. I listen to it all the time.
Great. Wow. Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, anyone who has questions about bodybuilding, paranormal, call in. I'm there.
Yeah, you're in. Hey, I don't know who it is, but we got a caller. Do you want me to accept that call?
No,
do.
You
know who it
I'll
is.
I'll take anybody. I don't.
Okay, let's see who's
that
going.
I don't know, probably.
Okay, let's see who's going in. Hello, you're on Paranormal Horizons. Are you there? Hello? Hello?
They're probably
okay.
Having trouble getting in, too.
Yeah, it's weird. And maybe, yeah, because I have the microphone on. And so that's, you're in. I mean, and the other person is in also, too. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's the Blog Talk, the radio station. There's some issues going on. It's not the first time.
Okay.
So anyway, let's talk about fitness. I'm going to give you the floor, and if I got any questions, we'll just wing it and see what happens.
Okay. Well, ask me a question. I work better on questions.
Okay. So anyway, how does anybody start with fitness? I'm going to tell you really quickly my story. Is that I've been a competitive
okay.
runner for 23 years, and my group that I founded in 1996, the Hagley Carriers, was still running coast to coast, and my group, I haven't ran it for about 4 years now, but my group has been running it
for. Coast is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, my group has been in the top three positions in the last 7 years, and I kind of quit my, you know, some issues going on, but I just kind of got burned out, and I just started into bodybuilding. So, yeah, how do you start out into fitness? Let's put it this way. If a person's not athletic and they want to get into shape, where do they start, especially with what in the arena you're in?
Okay, most people go to shows or they see something on TV and they say, you know, I really want to do this. And they go to a gym and they see people who are actually competing and go, oh, my God, that is exactly what I want to do. So what people do is they see something like that, but they have no idea or clue how to get into that shape. So what I do is people come to me and go, I really like the way this person is looking. I really like that shape. I really like what they're doing. How do I do that? And what I do is I slowly integrate them in. You know, because you got to go easy with them, because bodybuilding is tough. I mean, it's a tough. It's not just like going to the gym lifting weights. It's a lifestyle change, and so you really have to change a lot of things that you do in your life. So they come in, and I slowly integrate them in. I do, you know, we do the workouts, and then they go, you know, this isn't happening as fast as I want, and I'm like, okay, well, we need to do this. And it's a slow change, and when they, you know, fully get into it, they love it. Yeah, this is exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to change my diet. I want to eat healthier. I feel better. I have more energy, and I really want to, you know, I really want to compete, and that's what I do.
Wow, that's wonderful.
It's really good if you're into it.
What is the motivating factor? Do you think it's just more aesthetics, or do you find these people that come to you, are they, you know, they really just something challenging, something new, something challenging?
Well,
you know,
it's both. They want to – the aesthetics are a huge part of it. I mean, because when you look 1,000 times better than you ever thought you could, it's very motivating. And so people get into this and – you know, there's a health thing to it, but the aesthetics are probably the primary point. You know, I never thought I could look like this. Now I look like this. Oh, my God. It's amazing. You know, and that's the aesthetics. I mean, it sounds shallow, kind of, but the aesthetics are the primary motivating point. But it is healthy. It's amazingly healthy. I mean, you're getting your body fat down. You're getting everything down. Blood pressure goes down, everything.
Wow.
So it's everything. So yeah, they really want to do it.
Yeah, you really have to go and put your mind to it and everything too.
No, it's tough. It's tough. People don't understand how hard the sport is. It's tough, but if you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want. You will have the body you never thought you could have, and you will really transform yourself.
Wow. Yeah, I can speak from my personal experience. I did an 8-mile run, and this is just my personal story really quickly. I did an 8-mile run on the last day of July, and I thought, okay, I don't have no problems or anything. I just got bored. I got bored of running, and I just got tired of competing, and you know, I don't want my knees blown out. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to go bodybuilding. And August 1st of last year, I started bodybuilding. So, and it's different, like you said. It's just a totally different arena. Totally.
Yeah, no, it's not like a regular sport. Regular sports, you don't have to. I mean, your whole life doesn't need to be involved. When you do like running, you can eat anything you want while you're running because you're burning up so many calories. But this is different. This is like you got to get your body fat down. So to get your body fat down, you have to change your diet. So it's not just, you know, the sport. It's body fat. It's everything. So it's a lot harder.
It's harder. And really, to me, I think it really is, what is it, discipline, focus, and consistency. That's what I found out in my personal experience.
Yeah. It's totally harder. But
and most people,
are,
I would say 90, I'm thinking this is just
better.
Realistic. I think that 99% of the people can't cut it because it's so – it's so hard. It takes a lot of discipline.
Well,
it's just really tough. It's a mind thing.
If you know, 99% of the people could do it, everybody would look good on stage. But they don't. I mean, half the people look good on stage, half the people don't, because they don't have the guts to. I mean, it's hard to deny yourself the food. So there's three or four people who look amazing on stage, and then the rest of them don't because they haven't really put it in. But I guarantee you, if you go down stage and you don't look like as good as you could, you will try harder next time.
Yes, and I've seen the work you have put out with the people, the clients that you have. It's amazing. I mean, I see myself like that, and it's like, you know, I'm going to say this. Age has nothing to do with it. I think that if you take care of your body, your focus, and this is what you want to do, you will get there.
Art is one of my clients. He's 56 years old. He entered the Open. He beat 20-year-olds.
Wow.
56 beat 20-year-olds. He's on my Facebook page, Noel Fuller on Facebook. If you look up Art Wallace, he beat 20-year-olds.
That's amazing.
I got a lot of clients for him because he's 56 years old and he looks better than 20-year-olds.
That's really good. Wow, that's wonderful. So, how many people? If you're getting into just whether you're bodybuilding or just trying to get in shape and add some muscles or lose weight, what's the recommended, how many days a week should you recommend a person that's just starting, Noel?
I would do 5 days a week of training because training is easy. I mean, you just go into the gym and hit it. 5 days a week, you don't have to be in there a long time, half hour. If you did 5 days a week, half hour, you're going to be amazing. Yami, who I turned pro in like 4 years, never train more than 15 minutes a day. So it doesn't take a long time in the gym, but you just have to go in there and work hard.
That's amazing. Well, I can tell you with my personal experience with this guy, I'm going to say this because I know, you know, we're on iHeart and all these other radio stations. This guy, I've been doing leg presses on my own at 45-pound plates, just one plate on each side. And I thought, yeah, that's okay because I got strong legs, you know, for being, you know, for what I have. And when I went to Noel, he said, okay, now we're going to put on another one. And I was shocked to put on another 45 pounds on each side. And I hit it. I hit it at 90 pounds, 180 pounds total. I was amazed. I was really stoked, to be honest with you.
you didn't know what you could push. And you're going to come in again, and I'm going to train the shit out of you. So when you come in.
Yeah, we got to do that.
And we're
going to
push.
If you live closer, I'd be training every day at 5 days a week. Seriously, I mean, I live in Forest Grove, and so, you know, I'm there at 5 days a week. But you're an hour and a half, you know, hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half is like, damn. It's like, do I go and, you know, train, or do I, you know, just go and go locally and just try and wing it and that kind of thing? Yeah,
you need
definitely.
To be here at least once a weekend.
Okay.
So we're gonna hit it hard, but no.
Okay.
You got on there and you pushed. I mean, I remember you saying, I don't think I could do this. And you got on there and you were shocked you could do it. And that's what a good trainer does. He pushes you.
That's true. And, you know, we have some aches and pains, but you move through it. You know, what kind of stalled me was a little bit was just trying to, you know, I have a partially torn rotator cuff and I took 3 months off.
Yeah.
The bodybuilding diet, and I went, and it kind of like everything went sideways, and I'm getting back. I'm actually coming back stronger, and I'm more determined to get on stage one of these days. But no, it's amazing. I love bodybuilding. It's so different. I just really have a passion for it.
No, good. We're gonna hit it. How come we don't have any more calls?
Anyway, there's somebody else called and I can't get them in. This is weird because I'm, like I said, I'm running the dashboard and I can't get person in. Okay, but anyway, so what about the diet? What do you suggest with people that are just starting? How do they start without going in and shocking their system and it's like, oh my gosh, you got to cut out everything. How do you start out just before you start training and everything? What is primary would you suggest without doing a diet plan? What can your person do to help with their diet to start out?
Well, it depends on what they look like. So I take a person and they go, you know, I don't like the way my abs look. I don't like this. I don't like that. And the first thing I do is cut out fats because fats are worthless on a diet. So I start cutting down the fats a little bit. I may add carbs depending on what they're eating. There are so many weird diets out there that people get confused. and they think people are experts, and they're really confused on what eating right is all about. Eating right is a lot of protein, medium carbs, and low fat, because fat just clogs your arteries. So I'm not a big fan of fat. So what I usually do.
What about the culprit of sugar? That's my weakness.
Everybody wants sugar, but I don't use sugar. I mean, I'll have fruits earlier in the day to get you going, but towards the end of the day, I take sugar and fruits out.
Yeah, that's been my weakness is sugar. Not so much carbs, but sugar. I used to love carbs like pasta and everything. I can do away with that, but this is the sugar for me. The sugar. The
any sugar is a carb.
And, you know, the sugar.
Sugar is a carb.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and my naturopath says, it's an imbalance. It's electrolyte imbalance. It's chromium and something else. So, you know, I've been taking some chromium tablets. I mean, they're capsules, and they help, too.
Yeah, but
a lot of it is you don't need it. You know, get sugar-free. If you have to, just get for sugar-free, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't need a bunch of sugar. You absolutely don't. You need carbs. I mean, you have to have either fat or carbs. I mean, the keto diet works. I'm not a fan of the keto diet, but you have to have either fat or carbs. I would rather do carbs because it's easier on your body and it's healthier.
Right. Okay. But what about the keto? I was going to ask you. There's a lot of people that need to lose weight. I mean, I have my daughter. She lost over 50 pounds in keto diet.
No, the keto diet is good for people who are really, really overweight. Because it's an easy diet to do, but it isn't the healthiest diet because you're taking in fats.
Okay.
So once you lose the weight you want to off of keto, then switch over to a low-fat diet. It's harder. Mentally, a low-fat diet is harder because you'll be craving fats all the time, but it's healthier.
It's healthier. So what do you suggest
Much healthier.
As far as what do you suggest when a person says, okay, well, you know, what about, you know, vegetables or salads? If they're used to eating honey mustard or, you know, something sweet like French dressing, what do you suggest on something like that?
Salads are great. They don't give you shit for nutrients. But you cannot eat crappy salad dressings on them. I mean, ranch is shit. I mean, all it is carbs and sugar. And honey mustard, same thing. There's
what
a company that makes low-fat. Low-fat salad dressing is great. The problem with salad is it's nothing. I mean, it's just basic greens. You can starve to death on greens. You need to put something on it. You need to put chicken on it. You need to put shrimp on it. And then you need to get a low-fat salad dressing if you're going to do salads. But you need to get the protein in on your salads. And that's where people, I see this all the time. People eat these salads, like they go to McDonald's, and they don't realize that it's 100 grams of fat on their salads. I mean, you might as well.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, go look at McDonald's. Go look at the salad dressing nutrient factors on the dressings. It's huge.
Okay.
It's horrible.
I haven't been to McDonald's probably in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I won't go there. I won't go.
I know, me
but
too.
The only reason
why I went there is because of my grandson.
Yeah, well, I take my kids there too. I give them hamburgers. They're little shits. They run around. They'll pour that shit off. But the biggest thing on the biggest calorie thing on.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I
the menu
be surprised.
What is it? Taco Bell. Is their taco salad. It's huge. It's full of fat.
Wow.
And people go, I go to Taco Bell and I get a taco salad, so I'm easy. No, look at the fat content. It's huge. So people look.
That's really good. That's good information.
Yeah. You need to look at the
nutrient
content.
Yeah, a lot of it's our diet. We, you know, we are just so used to eating all kinds of stuff. And it's, you know, we talk about it in conspiracy theories how – you know, the corporations are kind of like poisoning us because they give us food that they know they're going to make us sick.
Oh, no. Let's not go there because I know that these guys have cured cancer and cured AIDS, but they make so much money off the fucking medicines for it, they won't give it to us.
Yeah, that's another issue there.
Yeah. So, you know what I do? I don't get cancer and I don't get AIDS. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat healthy so I don't get caught up in their bullshit. Because it is. It's a bunch of crap. We are getting hosed by the federal government and paid fucking legal or paid medical.
Yeah.
Anytime medical makes money, they're never going to take care of us. They're going to make money.
That's absolutely
true. Until we're dead. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yep, that's exactly. Yeah. That's what we talk about on a radio show. We can't go on and on. Absolutely. That's what we both, Jason and I, we agree with you 100%. It's a money-making business. They're not in the business of making people healthy.
They've absolutely come out and said it. We're not here to cure people. We're here to make our shareholders money. And that's absolutely what they do.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
I believe so.
No, it's
horrible. And I tell people we need balance of both at times, but I just, but personally, I don't trust doctors. I don't trust doctors or dentists, to be honest with you.
Oh, I trust the doctors. I just don't trust the insurance. I mean, I can sit there with a doctor and a doctor will figure out that I'm fairly smart within, 5 seconds and figure it out. And then me and the doctor can go rounds and they'll be cool. But, they've got to make their money too.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Once you tell them what's up, they'll figure it out. I don't think doctors are
well, it's kind of like you have to be empowered yourself to know what's wrong with your body and also, too, to kind of get an idea of take some – basically just take some power and get some control of yourself. That's what it is. Sometimes you can't just let handle you when you think, God,
right.
This is not – doesn't feel right, I remember years
ago,
go ahead.
When you go into a doctor, you need to let them know, okay, I'm paying you. You work for me. It's not the other way around. There used to be this godlike thing with doctors where everyone
exactly.
Would, anything you say, sir. But no. I've never been like that. I'm like, listen, motherfucker, this is what I want. This is what I want to happen. I'll go to another doctor if you don't do it. And they will they will sharpen up in a minute. But you have to be smart enough to go in there and argue with somebody who's had 10 years of medical school, who's smarter than shit. And they are smart. Doctors aren't stupid. But as soon as you let them know, I don't work for you. You work for me. And then they figure it out really quick.
Yeah. And the insurance company is another, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember years ago we didn't have to have insurance, Yet there was no such thing as insurance. It's just between the patient and the doctor.
Yep. Now it's a big business now. And
it's
killing people and ripping people off.
Wow. And people don't realize that, too.
A lot of people are ashamed. That's why we have an office.
I've got a friend who I've known for over 20 years, and she told me she takes like 17 medications. And I told her, I says, I'm not no doctor, but you might want to think about taking control of your own health. She's having all these side effects from the pills that they're pushing her.
17 seems like a bit
17
much.
17 pills? 16?
Yeah,
17?
That seems like a bit much. That seems like a bit much. We need people calling in. Hey, you jerks out there, call in.
Call in. Yeah, exactly. Call in.
Argue with me.
Yeah, exactly. So anything, just call in and, go from there. And, I'm going to see if Jason wants to call in too because he's probably got some questions. He always has questions to ask and everything.
Did you post this on my page? Post this on my page. It's up right now.
Yeah, he's trying to call in. And I'm just telling him to call in. Call in again.
Okay. Good.
Call in again. All right. So how long, how long have you been teaching? Telling people. teaching, sharing your expertise. How long you been doing this, Noel?
People started coming to me about 1987.
Wow.
Yeah. And for some reason, I got myself dialed in more than anybody else could. So everybody else wanted to know my secret. So they came to me at that point, and I've been dialing people in since then. Turned my first person pro in 1989, and I've been going since then.
Wow. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
great.
Old.
Yeah, so
I'm
am
old.
I. Oh, my goodness. Wow. So, yeah, 5 days a week, that's what you recommend, and kind of dial in your diet, and that's pretty much about it, huh?
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
It isn't that hard.
There's a lot more to it if you ever want to compete. I'm learning this. There's more to it. You have to have registration fees. You have to have the suit, hair done, makeup. You know, there's more to it than just going up on stage. It's not only the prep
Competing there's a lot to compete. You have to have your NPC card. You have to have your, you have to get the tanning, which is $100, your hair, your makeup, everything. It's huge. Competing is not an inexpensive sport, but damn, you'll have pictures and you look fucking great.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, if you just go through and just go and have, hard work, definitely.
There's no point in spending, 8 months getting ready for a show and not looking your best. So, yeah, you take advantage of everything you can do.
So
hair,
what's the shortest time a person have you trained from the ground zero to being on stage? And I know, knowing you, if they're not ready to go, you won't put them on stage.
Yami came to me. Yami was a girl who came to the gym. She was this chubby little Cuban kid. 6 months later, she won her first bikini show.
Wow.
Turned pro 2 years later.
Wow.
Pro. Yeah.
Now, is it pretty subjective, pretty much, with turning pro?
Yes and no. If you're really, really good, it doesn't matter. I mean, they can subject the hell out of themselves, but if you're really, really good, you're going to win. I mean, that was Yami.
Is everything presentation and how you look, the physique, or is
it
depends on the judges? Go ahead.
How Yami won was she had a decent body, but her condition was so good because her diet was so on point. I mean, she lived with me. We were a couple. So there was no way she could slip. So her condition was so fucking perfect that no judge could say no. I mean, that's how good she was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
So Yami had it made. She lived here. She trained here. And I oversaw everything. So she was, but it's hard when you don't, sometimes you get husbands that don't like what you're doing. They're insecure. Sometimes, your friends want you to go out and eat with them and do this shit. So it's harder. But when you live with somebody who's like living the sport, it's much easier. But it is hard. Like, I'm sure you went through it. Your husband probably wasn't all that into it and watched you do it and wasn't giving you 100% support.
No.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that just screws everything up.
Wow. It's not uncommon, huh? Especially with the women that are trying to get...
I deal with this all the time. I get women crying to me. My boyfriend that wants to go out and eat, he doesn't understand what I'm doing. And when they see you on stage, they understand it. So then they usually get better with that. But before they see you on stage, it's a hard lifestyle to deal with when people don't know what you're doing. So it's tough. I'm sure you've gone through that.
Yes, it is. Very much so.
Yep.
Yeah, the training's easy. I think for me it's the diet. I'm going to say that very much so.
I am one of the toughest people on the planet, and 6 weeks out from My last show, I cried. I was sitting there eating rice, crying into my rice, because it was that fucking miserable to not have fats.
Oh.
And people came up to me and said, "Are you okay?" And I go, "I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm miserable. Won my show, won the overall. It was worth it. But it's that hard. I cried into my rice 6 weeks out. Crying.
Wow.
Grown fucking ass man crying. It's that hard."
That's hard. Oh, my goodness.
No,
yeah, like you
I
said earlier, hey, if it's that easy, you can have a lot of people compete, you know? Exactly.
No,
so they have,
easy,
I understand, they have a wellness division, and they do have different, Noel, would you go and describe the different division in the men's and the women's while we're on air here?
Sure. Women have a lot of different, there's bikini, where you have to be fairly hard showing abs. There's figure, which you have to have really good shoulders, really wide back, and show abs. And there's physique, where you have to be shredded and huge. So there's a division for everybody. I mean, most women want to do bikini because bikini is very elegant. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Bikini is very elegant and very girlish, and you wear high heel shoes and makeup. So most women want to do bikini. So I usually start women out in bikini, and the women who really like training usually go into figure, because figure is basically bikini plus. It's a little muscle, but still elegant.
Yes,
and
it is.
I think figure is my favorite.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, a little bit. It's got a little bit more muscle, you know, muscle tone. Yeah, it's not so.
Yeah, well, women who want to work out and. It's funny. These girls going, "I don't want to look like that. I don't want to look like that." And they come in and they start training. And they go, "Oh God, I want to look like that," because they feel they're empowered by how good they look. And then they go, "Yeah, I wanted to figure." And
it's not
that
muscular. Most people would think it is, but it's not. To me, it's not.
No,
it's
not.
Is
it's
really
not.
It's,
but that's my favorite thing is when women get in the gym. Have control over their body. Don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. And go, "Yeah, this is what I want to look like." And I'm like, "Fuck yeah, we're going to do that."
And they do, right?
Yes, no, we fucking kick ass. We beat the shit out of people.
I know, you guys, I can see the pictures and everything. If you go on his Facebook page and you see his athletes and how he trains them and what the finished product does. They do, all of them. They all look dynamic.
Yeah, those women
really
are not
do.
Unhappy
There's
with
a
the
lot
way
of
they
work
look.
Behind
you can see on their faces, on stage how happy they are, and that's
wow, that's wonderful.
When you give somebody the empowerment over their body, and you just it's not me doing it, it's them doing it. I'm just giving them a little bit of advice. And when they say, "I can do anything I want with this fucking body," and then you're like, "You're done." And then they have
I got
so
a good
much...
question for somebody who's
yes.
not knowing what to start, who to start. What do they look for in a coach? Let me ask you. Okay.
The problem is there's a million fucking shitty coaches out there. And
what do you think it's called from? Why is it all of a sudden there's such a big influx?
Because there's
coaches.
So much money.
I mean, you have
there's
a website.
Ton of money. There's a ton of people made from coaching, and they'd make a ton. But 90% of these people are out for themselves, make themselves look good, so they don't care about the athlete. And you have to get a coach that cares about you more than they care about how you look on stage. I mean, I will take the worst athlete, and as long as they look better than they've looked before, I'm happy. But a lot of these coaches don't. They want to get the first place, all this stuff. I don't need first placers every time. I need somebody – I don't care if you're dead last as long as you look better than you did at your last show. That's
Ooh,
the problem
wow.
with coaching out there. You never know. You never know.
And I see, and this is personally, I see people that, you know, are competing. And you know, I know this person who's in Masters Bikini, and here she is. She goes in, and then all of a sudden she takes her fitness certification, and now she's trying to teach people to coach.
Yeah.
I'm finding a lot
all
of
the time.
Yeah.
No,
you see
that
these women
the
that they just because they're not even pro. I mean, they just compete, maybe one or two shows, or been in business maybe a year, not even 2 years,
yeah.
And now they're all of a sudden they're experts.
Yeah, that's all over. That's why there's so many shitty coaches. But that's good for really good coaches, because what happens is your clients will go out there, get their asses handed to them by somebody who's got a good coach, and they'll get their clients.
Wow.
But I don't push
it's
like
just,
that.
I just can't believe how many people are. You can see them on Instagram and you can see them
yeah.
on Facebook. They're just out there and it's like, oh, yeah, come on, come to me. You know, I'll teach you how to do nutrition and exercise and, you know, all these promises and everything.
Now,
it's crazy.
I mean, well, there's nothing you can do. I mean, you can't go online and fight with them. You just throw your athletes out there, have your athletes kick the fuck out of them, and then you'll get your clients.
Yeah, on stage, you mean. Show
yeah.
them up, huh?
Yeah. Congratulations on your third call out. My client just took the overall. You want to switch up, maybe?
So how long you want? 6 months? How long a person could, do you want at least 6 months to prep on a show if they're really conditioned? And,
you know,
and
I
really...
the longer I can prep somebody, the better. It's a minimum of 20 weeks. I can do
okay.
anything in 20 weeks. So it's like 5 months. 6 months
wow.
better. I mean, I would love a year. That way I can build them up and then for a few months and then diet them down. But the longer I get, the better, because it's an easier diet.
And, you know, when you're, and I must say this from experiences, when you're looking for somebody to train you, they got to know your body and not push you to the point, or at least spot you to the point where you're not going to injure yourself. And I can say this on a personal testimony that I have, you know, been trained, and then that's how I got injured. I overextended. I was told to do a certain exercise, and overextended, and that's how I have my partial rotator cuff. And I do take responsibility. I didn't wait until I was
late. You shouldn't take responsibility. If you're training and something hurts and your coach keeps pushing you, that's a fucked coach.
Okay.
You need
okay.
to.
Well, I took responsibility because I said.
It's not. No. You don't take responsibility.
Okay.
That person is taking money from you, right? As a
yes.
coach, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That is true.
When somebody tells me my shoulder hurts, I stop. Well, let's get some heat on it. Let's go to a doctor, because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a PT specialist. If something's wrong with you, as we're training, you will go get it looked at. And the doctor who is in charge, or a PT coach, needs to tell me what I need to do. That's not on you
then
at
you can
all.
Go from there.
Yes. If you have an injury, we work around your injury. And that's what you do.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of coaches out there that don't know what they're doing. And when I did that particular exercise where I did a chest fly, I went way back after doing 4 10s at 12, 15. No, I started at 10,
yep.
10 pounds at four 10s, you know, that's 40 of them. Then we went up to 12 pounds at 40 of them. Then we went up to 15 pounds. That was another one. Then we went up to 20 pounds. It was like, no, I couldn't do it. I was like, oh, my God, no, come on. You know, I was like, uh-uh. And I,
no.
that's when I that's
if
when
something
I
is hurting,
it.
You stop.
Yeah,
that's
how I did it.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a kinesiologist.
Yeah, and a good coach would know how far you can do, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they would say, you know, let's go. We don't have to do it that much, you know.
No,
I have
a bunch of clients with injuries. I work around the injuries. Okay, let's try this exercise. Is this hurt? I go, no. Okay, we're doing this one. We'll work around it. So you got a shitty coach. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I see too. Exactly. There's a lot of coaches that don't know what they're doing. Pay attention,
no.
folks. Seriously.
It's
take
not
it
only
from
the
me.
Coaches.
You know,
it's
you just because they, you know, they're gonna say, yeah, I'll train you. Get on stage and everything. That's what happened.
It's not
test.
Only the coaches. They think they're like the end all be all. All I am is I'm like a diet consultant. I'm a training consultant, and I stop when it becomes outside of my repertoire. So when somebody's hurting, that's not me anymore. That's a doctor. You need to see a doctor. when you're, if I do put you on a diet and it's not working, we need to see a nutritionist to see what's going on. If your thyroid is off and something is off, and I don't have a lab, I don't have any of that equipment to check to see if your thyroid is off, to see if your, you know, I can't do an MRI to see if something's wrong with your bones. And that's the problem with a lot of these trainers, is they want to be everything, and you're not.
You're not, just a consultant.
Yeah, so that's what I am. I'm a consultant. I will do the best that I can with the knowledge that I have, but when it gets out of my expertise level, I will fucking gladly head you off to a doctor.
Yeah, that's when you really need it. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what
that's
a good trainer
coach.
Will do to go
no,
and
that's
farm.
No, that's a good coach. This is out of my expertise level. We need to fix this. And when you go to the doctor and the doctor says you're fine, then we'll train.
So what do you think about exercising as warm-ups? You know, do you suggest people warming up, or can you just go light and easy and just gradually? Or how do you, you know, what's your approach as far as exercising? Do you suggest people warming up, or you just, you know, how do you approach that?
No. I've never liked stretching, and a lot of people do stretching before they work out. They work out, and they've found that stretching loosens the joints and actually is more prone to injury. And just I like to start out light on the exercises we're doing, because I think that's a warm up. Like if you're doing bench press, start off light. Don't count the rep. And then once you get the ligaments and tendons that you're doing going, that's what I like. I don't believe in stretching. I never have, and I've been proven right.
Yeah, you're really different, and I like your approach, honestly. I really do. You don't mess around. You know, you can – there are people that, you know, I've seen they're on the gym, they're hour and 15 minutes, you know, and they're stretching in between. I mean, that's how I was, you know, because I was trained.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to stretch for about a couple minutes here, split couple minutes there, and then we're going to warm up, and by the time we're done, it's like an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes. Then I got to go back on cardio, you know, kind of thing. And
no,
I'm going to ask you, what's the purpose of going on cardio? What do you suggest a person who's wanting to lose weight to do cardio before or after, or just depends on the client themselves?
No, I don't like cardio for losing weight. I think it's a poor way to lose weight. It takes 45 minutes to burn off a brownie that you've eaten, right? It takes 45 minutes on a Stairmaster to burn off a brownie. My suggestion is don't eat the fucking brownie.
Okay.
Yami trained 15 minutes. She's never trained. I always go to Yami because I had her from the beginning till the end.
Okay.
She never trained more than 15 minutes a day, and she turned pro. She could have turned pro in 2 years. She's one of the best fucking athletes on the planet. Never more than 15
minutes. 50 minutes?
1-5.
1-5. You're kidding. Wow.
No. Yeah, all those pictures of her, all that fucking success, her turning pro, 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yep.
And you must have her diet. Well, you had her diet dialed in. I mean,
well,
just
she lived
like,
with me, so I had everything down. So that Yeah.
Now, do you suggest, like with you, do you suggest if you're competing, do you suggest you have to prep your food, or do you feel like you need to, can you go, you know, I know people that when they're, whether they're competing or not, they prep for the day and that's it. They just go and cook in the morning and then they eat for that day. So it's fresh instead of refrigerating or freezing their food.
The problem with food when you're competing is it's boring and bland. So I would prep it. I mean, you don't want to sit there all day and be cooking food. I work with Wendy Gosh, who does a food prep thing, and most of my really good athletes go through her. I mean, it's expensive. It's like they're $9 a meal, but the meals are set. But, yeah, you need to prep your food. You can't just go through the day and not prep your food. It's boring as hell because the food is not going to – it's boring.
It is. It really is. I have to say that. It's very boring. And you got to the point where I'm just choking food down. It's just about nutrition at that point.
No, you got to look at it okay, this is a tool. I'm not eating this to satisfy anything. I'm not eating this to satiate. I'm not eating this for fun. This is a tool that's going to make my body look better. And that's how you have to look at it, or you'll go crazy. You shove it down your fucking throat and you swallow. And you're not going to get any satisfaction out of it. I mean, I'm
that's
sorry,
a good way of looking at
it,
huh? You have to look at it
no,
differently
it is.
In order
to... You have to, or you won't be a good athlete.
Okay.
The food that I'm taking
okay.
in is not going to satiate me. I'm not going to be satisfied. It's not nachos. It's not pizza. It's not something I really want. It's protein, fucking carbs, no fat, and it's going to put something in my belly that's going to help me lose weight. That's the way you have to look at it.
Okay.
It's a tool.
It's a tool.
Shove it down.
Okay.
Shove it down, swallow, and then cry.
Just like you did in a bowl of rice.
Yes. Yes.
Can I ask you,
overall,
does it make a difference between brown rice and white rice, or does it make any difference?
No, no difference at all. We've tried it both. There's a slight glycemic index that says white rice is easier, but brown rice sucks. I hate brown rice.
I don't care for it either, but that's what I've been using, brown rice, to be honest.
No, eat white rice.
It's supposedly more nutritious and more fibrous, I guess. Yeah, I don't care for brown rice, but...
I know, fuck that. I don't give a shit what anybody says. White rice. No, I'm crying 6 weeks out, and I beat the shit out of people on stage. And it was absolutely fucking worth it. I was the overall winner. I beat everybody because I suffered. And crying into rice is a small price to pay to be the most beautiful person on the planet that day.
Wow. Did you have a lot of people to compete at that time? Was there enough people? Was
there
a big group?
I competed against 200 people.
Wow.
I beat the shit out of them. So crying in my rice 6 weeks out was absolutely fucking worth it.
So you know what it's like to be there.
Oh, no. That's why I'm the coach that I am, is I've done this. I've done this many times, so I know exactly what you're going through, and I won't hold anything back to make you the best athlete you can be on stage. That's why I have so many overall athletes, because I will fucking push you to the hill, and that's why they keep coming back. If you notice, the people I turn pro and the people I have overalls with, they always come back because they know I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm not make them the best person that can be on stage.
Yeah, exactly. It's the product. Yeah, you want some good customers, and that's absolutely.
I don't think about it as customers. I think about me getting on stage and what it took me to do. And these people are suffering. These people are, they're suffering to be on stage. And I'm not going to hold anybody back that's doing the shit that I have done. So I'm going to make you the best fucking person I can, not for my benefit, but for your benefit. Because
it's a commitment.
It's hard. I don't know how to say this. It's not for. I don't do this for me. I do this for other people because I've done it before. I do this because there is something you can take on stage where you're better than everybody. And you should be able to do that. And if you have the right coach will put you to that point. And that's what I do. It's not for me. It's for them.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah, hopefully I'll make it one of these days.
You don't have a choice. You're going to be there.
Okay.
And the thing
I
of it is.
I love that. Okay.
Now, the thing of it is you will be backstage after you push your athlete this hard, and the athlete will look at you, and you'll look back, and they'll go, oh, my God, you did this, and you put everything out there for me. And you'll go, yeah.
Well, this is my
bucket
list, I'll tell you that. That is really my bucket list. It really is. And where we go from there.
This is going to be your bucket list because we're going to do it a bunch.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I love it. I do. I really do.
No, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you there. I promise you. I will get you there.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Exactly. I just really appreciate you being on air and just, you know, I really like your style, and the reason why I asked you, because I know a lot of people that are doing this, and you have a very unique style. You're no bones. You have a lot of experience, and it's just amazing. That's the reason why I asked you to be our guest, and it's something different. You know, Paranormal Horizons, when my other show was on, when that gets kicked in, I'm going to have you on maybe every week for half an hour. But, you know, it's like, it's nice
no,
to
no,
go
I,
in
I,
and help
I
and love, share.
I love
go ahead.
I'm a new paranormal show. Let's go to fucking, what we need to do is we need to find a haunted house, and we need to go there and do a live show.
That'd be fun.
No, let's do it.
I'm
let's
sure you probably know on that side, the southeast side.
No, I don't know any. I'd like to know because I was scared the shit out of those ghosts.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're Grand Lodge is one of them.
Let's go. We can do a live show from there. Grand Lodge?
Yes, the Grand Lodge in Forest Grove. It's haunted as hell. There's a lot of...
Let's go.
There's a lot of... There's a lot of ghosts there, definitely.
Let's go.
Especially downstairs with the mortuary and the doctor's office. There's a lot of deaths, especially down below.
I will sleep in a fucking – I will sleep down there. Let's go.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy.
No.
I turn it off. I turn that GIF I have off. The only time I turn it on is when I'm ready to read. I'm a normal person. People don't even know I'm a psychic medium, but once I turn it on – boom, I get downloaded with a lot of information.
No, we're going to the Grand Lodge, and we're going to fucking do a live show from there.
Oh, that would be fun. Oh, that would be
no,
so
we're doing
cool.
It.
We can do live, yeah, Facebook Live. That's for true.
Late at
and
night.
Tune in. I'll have Maria hook us up to, we can go both ways and be on iHeart and Blog Talk at the same time as we go live.
No, we're doing it. We're going to go get those fucking ghosts. We're going to fucking ghost the shit out of them. I'm fucking thankful.
The Children's Cottage is another one, too, right next door. That other building used to be an orphanage. Used to be a hospital and an orphanage on top of it. That building right next door.
I
There's
want to
a
go
lot
to the
of paranormal
things
that go through there.
Where the most
and
ghosts are, I'm going.
They are. They're crazy. Hey, right. Noel, just on a side note, do you believe in ghosts? Honestly, do you believe in the afterlife
yes.
or ghosts, period? Your personal
yes.
view? You do?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. I know they exist. I know. I knew from when I grew up. My parents are very spiritual. They're not religious, but my parents were very spiritual people, and I knew from a long time when I was little that they do exist. And I've had quite
a few
experiences.
No. There are so many weird things out there that and people who don't want to believe, it's just stupid. We don't – energy doesn't disappear. I mean, that's a fact. Energy doesn't go anywhere. It still stays. I mean, that's a scientific fact. So we may die. Our physical body may die, but the energy of our physical body goes somewhere. Energy never
Absolutely.
Dies. It never goes anywhere. So it goes somewhere.
Yeah.
And if I can go somewhere and bug somebody, I'm happy. Because I don't want to cause
problems.
And
hopefully it's not a malevolent spirit, right?
No, it's not going to be malevolent, but I'm going to fuck with you.
My life changed when I witnessed a real exorcism. I went in and as a matter of fact, I can share this on air, and I don't know if I have shared it on air in the last 4 years. Actually, it happened 2 years ago, and not 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, I went with Archbishop James Cloud, and he is an exorcist. And we went into Bethany area, by Intel in Hillsboro, and we went in with a house that is for a pilot. He's an American Airlines or United Airlines pilot. He still is.
Yeah.
I'm still in touch with them. His house was haunted with a demon, and we literally had to exorcise. He had to do an exorcism, and the reason why they called me in is because I can see them. So, I went in, and Rolling Stone magazine was there, and they did a story on us and why and blah, blah,
nice.
Blah, and it was interesting. Very interesting to witness an exorcism.
Demons
changed my life.
Demons
Literally changed
pussies.
My life. So, you know, you don't want to mess with those kind of things. They do exist.
No, listen, demons are pussies.
I was nauseous. I was sick and nauseous as soon as I walked in that
door.
Oh,
God, take me. Take me.
I was kidding. I was sick.
No, I will fuck with
so
the demon.
There was a demon and two henchmen. They're two people that are working behind him, the main demon, and they had a hag, an old hag. So what happened was the American Airline pilot or United Airline pilot was in Japan. He was flying, and he was in Japan.
Yeah.
His daughter that he was raising, he has a son and daughter, and he was raising them by himself. His daughter was in college, and she had a party. They opened up a Ouija board and invited an unwanted spirit, and that's how all hell broke loose. Scratches. They had scratches. They had blood on the walls. They had weird things. The hag was haunting the daughter and was, like, trying to suffocate her. It was horrific. It was just, oh, it was bad. I felt so sorry for them. It was a real bad case. So, and on top of that, you not only open up the portal in a bad sense, but in that land there is Indian land. And when I went down there and felt, it's like they were pissed. I'm sorry, but they were pissed. They felt like that the white man didn't have any respect for them, and they were, you know, kind of retaliating in their own little way. So you had two things that they were dealing with. It's crazy. But, yeah, you're right. Everything's energy, and it does happen. You know, where are you going to go? Some souls are going to go on to the other side, and some souls are going to stay here and haunt you.
I will shove a Ouija board up a demon's ass.
Have you ever been in a house that you felt that was you're being watched or no, or you feel
no.
like it was haunted ever since you were little?
No.
Been in any houses
no.
or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
That's why I want to go.
Okay.
Take me to a fucking demon's house. We're going to pull out the Ouija board, and we're going to fuck with them.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
I will fuck with them.
I don't know if you want to do that.
No, 100%. I absolutely do. Put a GoPro up if you don't want to be in the house with me, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah, and if you turn white as a ghost, I gotta say, I told you so.
It'll never happen.
Oh,
it'll
my
just
gosh!
Be another experience. I'm like, really?
Yeah,
Jason,
my co-host is an ex-paranormal investigator, and he, you know, there's just some things that he, you know, is like, I don't want to believe in this, but there's too many things that have gone wrong.
Take me with you. They'll attack me, not you. Promise. So we're doing
I know.
This. So
we'll have to do that. It's in
no,
the veil's really thin too.
This? When are we doing the haunted place?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you just get hey, you know. And next
no.
week we're gonna have a demonologist. He's a personal friend of mine, and he's a regular on Ghost Adventures. His name is Brian Ouellette.
Okay.
Zach Bacon.
We're going to this haunted place. Figure it out. Get a date, and I'm in.
Okay. We'll get a clue
right.
with that, Tom. That'll be great.
No, I don't care. I don't care if it's just me. You guys should sit and watch from the outside. I'll sit there by myself. I don't care.
Okay. No, that McMiniman's crazy. My daughter used to work there, and she says, Mom, oh, my God, there's some weird shit going on in there. And I go, really? And she goes, yeah. She used to work the graveyard shift, and she would go and, you know, be in the where you check in people and check them out. She was working there, and kind of weird things happened in the manager's office there. Nobody's there, and all kinds of weird sounds. And she said she was so freaked out. They called the security guard and had them stay with them until, you know, she wanted to leave. There was just some weird things going on. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, I'll give you off
okay,
the phone.
Okay, you're in.
My kids are calling me.
You're in.
But
oh, my goodness. And there's
this.
Some good things, you know. So,
no,
yeah.
Let's
so,
do this.
You know, some people love that kind of stuff and some people don't. But, yeah, it's crazy how you find out about that kind of thing. I have a lot of respect. I don't deal with the dark side myself personally. But when I do see them, I know people. I'll call June. Oh, my gosh, I'll call her. She's a colleague of mine. she's a demonologist too. She's local, so she'll come out. I'll see she'll come out, and she can talk to them and everything. I don't want to deal with them, but I'll check it out.
Just watch me.
Okay.
Just watch. Get me in there and watch. You know,
gosh. It's crazy. Okay. You got a deal.
In.
You're
okay.
In. You're in.
Back
but
to
anyway,
soon.
Hey, no, if there's anybody that that want to talk to you or contact you about training and everything, how do they get a hold of you?
Facebook.
Without giving your phone number away, how do they get a hold of you? Do Facebook or you have a web page? How do
N-O-E-L,
they get a hold
of you? N-O-E-L-F-U-L-L-E-R. Facebook.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Cool.
Talk
cool.
To you soon.
So is there anything else you want to talk about or anything? I can, you know,
no,
we can go on and
go
on. Like I said, we're on for an hour and a half, so.
No, we're going to go fuck up some demons.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
So, but yeah, folks, if you are interested in really seriously getting into shape and just losing some weight and possibly getting back getting on stage and checking it
and
out
getting rid
of demons. In the bodybuilding arena, do check Noel out. I'm very picky. This guy knows his stuff. Seriously, folks. I'm really happy with him. And so if you guys want to, like I said, get in shape and everything, get a hold of him on Facebook and just go from there. In the meantime,
right.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
We're at almost 31,000 Facebook followers. I want to thank you guys for following us. And because of my co-host Jason, he's founded Paranormal Horizons. I don't know how many shows we have. I've been on air. This is my fourth year anniversary. So, like I said, I've been on tour, and it's hard for me to get on, and I'm so exhausted. If I do a three-day show or two-day show, I am so tired. I really don't want to talk to people. I just want to come home, not even talk to anybody, and just relax and, you know, kind of recover. But, yeah, we're going to have some good people. Next week is Brian Ouellette from Ghost Adventures. He is the main demonologist in Zach Bacon's Ghost Adventures cable TV weekly show. And the week after that, we're going to have, I forgot his name, but he's Jewish, and he is one of the biggest speakers. He's one of the main speakers at the Ghost Conference. He's going to be talking about seances. That's his thing. That's what he does, is seances. So we're going to have him on the show the following week. And so on and so forth. So anyway, just join us, and thank you guys for supporting us on Facebook and listening us to on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Alexa, iTunes, you name it, we're on it. And again, thank you guys for just being with us, and I'm going to shut this show down. Okay, take care.
All right.
Peace.
Good night.
Bye-bye.